All right, let's get started this morning. We're going to get some scriptures out. If I can get our main text, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. And Brian, if you'll get that deploy. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Trevor, if you'll get that for us. Trevor Wright, 1 Peter 2, 2. Galatians 5, 16. Colby, if you'll get that for us. Sean, if you'll get Romans 8 and verse 7, and then Luke 9 and verse 23, Robert Chavez, if you'll get that, Luke 9, 23. Okay, a normal measurement of health is appetite. Is there a desire for food? In infants, a desire to move from liquid to solids, etc. So when appetite is missing, we understand this could indicate sickness. This can be an indication of disease. Ultimately, a lack of appetite leads to malnourishment and ultimately even to death. So with that imagery in mind, in our passage, Paul uses this picture of appetite as an indicator of spiritual health. And so I want to look at that from that angle, a serious men's lesson I've titled, What Can You Eat? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3.
But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For a while there is just jealousy and strife among you, you are not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way.
Okay, so what can you eat? Let's talk firstly about new creations. So when we first get saved, give our lives to Jesus, the Bible gives a picture that we're spiritually, we start as infants. We're babies in Jesus. In other words, there's a lot when you get a new convert that they don't understand. There's a lot that you don't have revelation on, right? Even if you've been around it your whole life. You know, when I first got saved, there was so much I did not understand, I did not get. But what is healthy, whether you get it or not, that will come in time. The real issue is desire. Is there an identifiable desire at work in a life? 1 Peter 2 and verse 2.
And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed.
It's a good scripture, not the one I first. It was probably me. But like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. So we need to cry out for this nourishment. What nourishment? That we have an appetite, a desire for the things of God, a hunger for the things of God. When this is missing, when desire isn't there, it's an indicator that something is wrong. It's an indicator that something is off. If you're there this morning and I'm just really not feeling it, I'm just really not motivated, I'm just really not. Again, we're going to have days like that. But I'm talking about if this is your approach, if this is your perspective, something is missing. You know, every genuine convert that I have had in my ministry or even in my discipleship working with people before I got sent out, every convert had a hunger. It was just there. I didn't have to, bribe them with breakfast, lunch, dinner, Dutch Bros and everything else to get them to church. There was hunger, there was a desire. They made it, their mission to get to church. They were asking questions. They naturally got into the Word of God. And so in all of that was hunger. So it's critical to understand, though, because you have to have a balance here, is that everyone grows at different paces. Okay, some are going to grow fast. They're going to get things quickly. I've had converts within the first week, 2 weeks of salvation, they felt called to preach. They were on outreach. They immediately started giving. They're bringing people to church. Immediately they're evangelizing. But some grow slower. It's not the same pace. That's fine. You need to have room for that in your mind or in your thinking, because not everyone grows the same. I was a slow disciple. There was this passion. There was this drive that, man, when it was there, when I was stirred, it was like, this is what I want to do. But actually doing it, applying it, etc., that was a process of time. So you don't gauge someone's hunger or desire by how fast or slow they're growing. The point is it there? Are they growing? And so for you this morning, the question isn't how fast. The question is, are you growing? Is there a measurement of increase? Is there an identifiable, growth chart, if you would, in your walk with God? There's an old saying, they haven't been saved 5 years. They've been saved 1 year five times. Why? Because there's no growth. It's the same spiritual infant issues. It's the same approach. It's the same stir, like a firework, go into the air, burst, and then that's it. So in this is their continual growth. That's a mark of spiritual health. So let's look secondly then at still carnal. So the issue of our passage here, Paul identifies that a lack of development, if that's there, where's that coming from? Verse 2 in our passage says, I fed you with milk and not solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. What is the biggest hindrance to spiritual growth? Carnality. The word carnal means fleshly. That's what I think Brian's translation said. It was the flesh. Worldly, other translations put it. Means sinful. Okay, these things are at work in you. Now, again, you have to have balance. Pastor Greg has said redemption is partial. In this life, redemption, you're never going to get to a point. It's like me and Jesus, we're right there in sync with each other. I have no issues. I had a guy, I've used this illustration before in New Mexico, asked me, Pastor, when do we get to the point where we don't have to read the Bible every day? We don't have to pray every day. We don't have to come to church, weekly. I said, when you get to heaven. Because you're always curbing and cultivating and fixing and changing, right? That's why we have every sermon an altar call, not just for salvation, but for the trespasses. There's things like, man, that's me. That's in me. Man, that's still at work there. So I'm not talking about you're never going to have an issue, because redemption's partial. It has yet to be completed, but that isn't what Paul is addressing here. This isn't a matter of perfection. He's talking about an appetite. There was an appetite at work in this congregation that was affecting their salvation. It was actually stunting their development. There was a block. They could get to a certain point, they couldn't break through that. Man, there's so much. He's like, there's so much you're missing. There's so much I haven't taught you yet. There's so much. You weren't ready for it, right? And that's wisdom when you're working with people. What are they ready for? I've seen guys working with converts and they're asking questions. But you know what? Just because they ask the question, you need discernment. Are they ready for the answer? But and that's Paul. He's like, you're not ready for it. And in fact, and this isn't an encouragement to the church at Corinth, you're still not ready for it. Why? Because of carnality. It was carnality. Verse 1, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal. So this teaches us that carnality will hinder your spirituality or your spiritual growth. Okay, why do you think that is? I'm asking the question now. Why would that hinder?
Because we're vessels and whatever we fill our lives with, we can only put so much.
Okay, so we're vessels and we're filling our lives with certain things. Yeah, that's good.
Whatever you do feeds your appetite.
Okay, so whatever you're doing, good or bad, it feeds an appetite. Yeah? Yeah, exactly. So those are both true, and I'm sure we could, you know, continue to elaborate, but really at the end of the day, carnality creates an appetite. And spirituality creates an appetite. Okay, so you're a vessel. What are you going to fill that with? Carnality or spirituality? You're going to feed something in life. Are you feeding your carnality or your spiritual walk with God? Because both of them are not static. Both of them have consequences. Both of them take effect in your life. Both of them take you down a direction, a path. Both of them are going to carry you somewhere. Let's read, did I hand out Galatians 5:16?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Okay, you take the time to read Galatians 5. It breaks down the flesh and the Spirit. But I pulled out this one. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. In other words, if you're going to live by that, you're going to feed the spiritual man in you that God put in you when you got saved, that God awakened when you got saved. Are you going to walk by that? Are you going to live by that? If you do, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Why? Because you're feeding, like David said, you're feeding one more than the other. You're going to starve one or the other out. Okay, and none of this is heavy revelation for most of our guys. This is something we understand up here. But how alive is it right here? How real is it in your heart? What you feed, you'll desire that more. I have people, Pastor, I just, you know, my marriage is this, and I just can't seem. And okay, what are you feeding in your marriage? What are you feeding in your marriage? Are you cultivating love for your wife? Are you investing into her? That's why you're not feeling it, because you're not. Right? Pastor, I'm just not feeling ministry right now. I just need a break. What are you feeding? What are you giving yourself to? What are you taking in? Yeah, the Bible. I can't read the Bible. It's just, I start reading and it's like tunnel vision and but you'll read everything else. You'll scroll the news every waking minute you have. Master, I just don't know what to pray about. I just, you know, sermons, I'm just not getting it. Okay, again, it's simple. What are you feeding? When you feed the flesh, you're not interested in the things of God. I just don't like Christian music. I just don't like... Okay, because you're feeding that appetite somewhere else. Okay, there's so many ways this works out. What you feed, you'll desire more. So where are you carnal? Where's that area? Is it in videos? Tell people, you know, interesting, you know what? I want to point you to the rejection series, Pastor Gray. That's going to be super helpful, you know. How's that going for you? Yeah, you know, it's just they're really long. Okay, I understand, but this is life-changing. Okay, it's 45 minutes. Yeah, I know you watched 45 one-minute videos in a row, and you didn't realize that was 45 minutes also. But it's appetite. It's appetite. Right? Where's the carnality? Is it in music? Because music is a pulpit. And music preaches a message. And what you're allowing in is feeding something. Where's the area of carnality? Is it your jokes? Is it what you laugh at and think is funny? But it's defiling. Movies. You're a closet movie watcher. And in ministry. Yeah, but it's not, you know, I'm not going to the theater. You're finding other avenues. Television. Okay. Point isn't, right, to create rules here. This is the point. Have you noticed its hindrance in your life? That's more the issue. Have you noticed what it's actually doing to you? Okay, we give ourselves to things. Have you noticed how it's desensitized you? And there are things I watched when I was not saved. You know, you just come around back to it some way and you see and you're like, oh my, what? Why did I think that was funny? Yeah, because you were desensitized. It absolutely breaks things down. Have you noticed how the carnality has changed your convictions? How often do we hear that? Yeah, well, when I first got saved, but I had to be radical then. I can handle it now. No, it's a slow fade. You're turning actually back into the person you were. Verse 3, he's talking about the spiritual life. He's talking about how you've been carnal. There's things I can't feed you. You're not even going to get it. It's not even on the same wavelength. What does he say? For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? In other words, there are these eternal riches, wisdom from heaven, fruitfulness, impact beyond what you can even grasp. You know, what God wants to unlock in your life. But because carnality, that appetite is so fed and so full in your life, it affects behavior, right? It affects response, life response, how you respond to situations. It brings division. It brings division. It cuts people out of your life. Why? Well, because they're just super spiritual. Yeah, they're just too saved, you know. Now look at them, man. Yeah, they're just, yeah. It's like it divides. Really, at the end of the day, you're convicted. And you're looking for a way to blame it on the person that's just trying to do right. So, what can you eat? Let's close. Let's look at that. What can you eat? So this passage actually, you know, it's actually a mirror for the disciple. It's actually a mirror to the man of God. You need to look at you this morning. And what can you eat when it comes to the things of God? What can you eat? Some this morning, you can't eat the revelation God wants to give you. You can't eat the calling that God's casting, drawing you towards. You can't eat. Why? Because this area. So you have to ask yourself, have I grown? Remember, we're talking spiritually. Some after the holidays have grown just in different ways. Have I grown in the past 3 months? Past 6 months? Past 1 year? 3 years? 5 years? Or in the same repetitious cycles of carnality? Ask yourself, how will I begin to grow? If you're not, like I said, some, it's saved 1 year 5 times. Okay, well, how will I begin to grow? Or how can I continue to grow? 3 keys to eating spiritually. Number one, it takes repentance. Must turn away from carnality. Let's read Romans 8 and verse 7.
For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will.
Okay, so that's good, the second part there. What doesn't obey God's laws and what never will? Other translations say a carnal mind, a worldly mind, a flesh appetite. What is it? It makes you an enemy of God. It's contradictory to God. It's not ever going to be in sync with God. There's people, man, they trouble me because they're trying to marry carnality with spirituality. It doesn't marry. It doesn't connect. It's opposite. They're opposites of one another. So you have to decide you're going to turn away from it. I want you guys to understand, I'm speaking from experience. I've lived carnally in church. I've functioned in my teen years as a carnal Christian, as a carnal ministry involvement. Let me tell you what, it doesn't work. It's completely fruitless. And it's not satisfying. It's just not. But when I made a decision, I'm turning away from this. I can see the day my wife and I threw out. I used to have bookshelves, not of books, movies, DVDs, throwing them out, getting rid of my TV, getting rid of my game systems. They were all distracted, and I knew that was holding my appetites. I have to repent from it. I'm turning away. Secondly, decide victory. Decide what you're going to do. Again, it's like we complicate it. We make it so like webby, you know. It's like, oh, but this and that. Decide. Decide what you're going to do. When I made a decision about what I was going to do, changed everything. Joshua 24, Joshua says, choose you this day whom you'll serve. And in the case of that, he's saying, well, are you going to choose Baal or are you going to choose God? Baal was the world. Baal was their carnality. Baal was their flesh appetite. Baal was immorality. So again, that applies in 2022. Choose today. What are you going to do? Who are you going to live for? What are you going to serve? Thirdly, then, is crucify your flesh. Luke 9:23.
Then he said to them all, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
OK, Okay, what is the cross for us? It's the denial of self. I'm going to deny what I want to do. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to deny my flesh. I'm going to deny certain appetites because I want to live a life pleasing to God. I'm telling you, that will unlock revelation, fruitfulness, blessing. I am a satisfied customer of saying no to carnality. I don't miss it. I don't miss the struggle. I don't miss the pain. I don't miss the broken marriage. I don't miss the frustration. I love the fruitfulness. I love the impact. I love the ability to invest in someone's life, and see them change, to have part in that. I love redemption. I don't miss the latest Marvel movie. I could care less. I don't miss the things of the world. I don't miss the hangovers. I don't miss the paranoia of using drugs. I don't miss it because God is so satisfied. And we could go on and on. I'm a satisfied customer. And gentlemen, I'm telling you, if you'll make a decision today, the impact of your life will be beyond what you can imagine. I can't tell you every day how humbled I am to walk into this building and be part of what God's doing here. That didn't just happen. Those were decisions. Hidden decisions that no one else saw in discipleship and even in ministry about what I'm talking about. Okay, let's open it up for some questions this morning. Something you want to ask. Yeah, Anthony?
So, I just wrote this down. Do you think it's evading accountability when you try to deal with the carnality on your own?
Help me understand what you mean.
If you have an issue with carnality, an example from myself is you confronted me when I was watching movies at my house and all this stuff. And you said you got to choose what you're going to do, you're going to be in ministry. And that accountability helped me to make a decision of, I'm going to get rid of it once and for all. Without that accountability, is it possible to be able to break free from carnality?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Anthony, it's a heart issue, right? It's a heart issue. And like this talks about, it's an appetite issue. So, you know, in that case, right, it's not like you never heard that before, right? You know, growing up in the fellowship, you know, in Prescott, it's not like you never heard that before. It was just in that season, in that moment, it clicked. Yeah, and that, but you made a choice at the end of the day. So before that, it's not like you were never confronted with the choice. You know, whether that be through preaching, you know, whether that be through family, whether that be through relationships, etc. But at that moment, you made a choice. So, yeah, it's possible because then, right, this is the problem. Some people, in like something like that, they'll make the choice today. But then once they're, quote unquote, out from under the microscope, they go right back to it, right? Why? Because it's a heart issue. So that's really what it comes down to. It's a heart issue. Yep. Devin?
Past carnality, your current spiritual growth, you've chosen no longer to be part
of? Can it currently? No, because then you fall into, you know, the age-old saying, as Pastor Greg would say, you know, back in 19... you know, whatever, when I did, now I'm paying for it today. No, at the cross, Jesus said, it is finished, right? So we can break curses, we can cast out spiritual influences, right? Now, if you're working through consequences of those choices, that's different. That's not, you know, you paying for it. That's just the course of life. God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Faithful, where he's dependable, just, he'll let consequences work out. Why? So we remember. That's actually for us. So, but to say, like, you know, it's like this card's been waiting to be played, you know. Here and now I can play it, you know. No, I don't think so. You fall into dangerous doctrines there.
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
Just remember, I thought that that decision would be incredibly challenging and incredibly difficult, you know, but when I just made that decision 100%,
yeah,
you know, and that was at the altar when I got saved, it was like immediately those things I thought that would be so hard to cut off and stop, and it was incredibly liberating. It was unbelievable how just going 100% and saying, I'm going to get rid of everything, you know, so that way there's no... you know, avenue, and yeah. It was supernatural. It was really, you know, very liberating, and it came very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is, because, you know, Paul writes, you'll be a slave to something. So you're either going to be a slave to God or a slave to sin. So that's why, right? You're bound. Absolutely. Amen. Let's bow our heads. I just want to pray this morning. Believe God with you. Father God, I'm asking this morning, Lord, that you're going to give revelation. Father God, that there is going to be, Lord, a cultivating in hearts for righteousness. God, give revelation on this issue this morning. That as men make a decision right now, I'm confident, Lord, you by the Holy Ghost have convicted areas of life. Areas where carnality has found a foothold, God, I pray, let them make a clear decision, choosing this day whom they will serve, God. And I pray that in that decision of obedience, that in that decision of surrender, God, that there's going to be blessing a hundredfold. Lord, there are men here, there you have made them to be fruitful. You've given them giftings and talents that are yet to be unlocked and useful in the kingdom. Lord, let them see this issue with clarity and step into that. Father God, I pray right now and rebuke confusion, fear, and doubt. And I'm asking, Lord, that as this decision is made in the secret places, that there is going to be revival. Oh God, that there is going to be a breakthrough in fruitfulness. This curse of barrenness is going to be broken. Father God, this work of carnality is going to be broken right now in Jesus' name. I cast out this spirit that is hindering what you are trying to accomplish in this work, Father God. I pray right now for supernatural breakthroughs in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. All right, that's all I have, gentlemen. Let's look forward to a fruitful Sunday this morning.